Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Israel Passaic Clifton. I'm coming back from a little short hiatus. I apologize for missing the last two daf as far as shiurim are concerned. But we are continuing our Daf HaShavu Insights to the Daf series. Today's shiur is on Maseches Sukkah Daf Tesvav. It's going to be learned L'ilui Nishmas, all the Kedoshim who were killed, unfortunately, on Chav Sivan, those who were massacred in the town of Blois, France in the 1100s, and all those who were murdered in the Chmelnytsky massacres, was fast day, whose day was at one point was commemorated as a fast day today. And Kadosh Baruch Hu should yinkum damam, and this serves as an aliyah for the neshama, and as a chus b'klal Yisrael, that we should not have to see chas v'shalom such troubles again. Our topic is really, I would call it from ischach to nuts, and we'll kind of get to that very soon in terms of where we're dealing with this and how this works. Our Gemara discusses the following case in the Mishnah, or actually our Mishnah first discusses the following case later in the Gemara. It says, Tikra she'ino leha maziva. If you use the roof of your house, which consisted of four tefachim white boards for your sukkah, but you didn't plaster them, you also didn't place them on the house for the purpose of making a sukkah, but rather for the construction of your house. Okay, these boards are going to be puzzled. We're going to have to see why. But what the Mishnah does is the Mishnah is going to give a solution. The solution is, of course, in the form of a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Beis Shammai Omer, Mefakek, Venotel Echbi Bin Sayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, according to Beis Shammai, you have to, first of all, lift up and put down each piece of schach. And then you take one of the bad ones away and put a good one back in its place. So you have to do two things. Either you lift up and put down, or you replace one of the schach pieces. So Rabbi Yehuda implies that there is a problem with such schach and explains that, again, the way to fix it is a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai rules that first one must lift up the boards and then replace at least one of them with schach kosher, ones that would be less than four tefachim. Beis Hillel requires you to only do one of the two procedures, lifting up all the schach, or removing one and replacing it. And Rabbi Meir explains, you only need to replace one of the boards, and that is sufficient. What we've learned now is machlokas about how to fix the problem. What we haven't discussed is why is tikra a problem? And the solutions based on the type of problem that it is. The Gemara goes through a lengthy explanation as to what the issue is. Because there are two potential problems. One is tasev lo menasvi. What does this mean? So the Torah tells us, Hagasukos tasalach, you must build a sukkah for yourself. The implication is that you may not use a sukkah that formed naturally, such as the case later on in the next daf, where a person carved out a space in a haystack, and the schach roof was made without you placing it on the sukkah. Here, the implication would be that you're using the covering of a schach that was made for a roof and not for a sukkah. It was placed on for a roof, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, let me use this for a sukkah. The other option is to ask for the bim because of Gzeiris Tikra. What exactly is Gzeiris Tikra? We're concerned about the ceiling. So Rashi and Daf Yadalad, where this concept is introduced, says, Imach Sheres Behu, if we allow such chach, Asi Lameim, or a person might come to say, Mali L'sakach Be'elu, what's the difference if I use these type of boards? Mali L'sheb Tachas Koros Besi. What if I sit in my house? It's not going to be much of an issue. Afi ben Asara Makura, Behu Vade Pasul, the Sukkah Marachmana, Velo Beso, shall call you Moshe Shana. You can do that because, again, the Torah says that you have to sit in the Sukkah and you can't sit in the boards of your house. So, aside from the differences to the nature of the Psul, as Tasev Lominoso is a Deoraisa, and Xeris Tikras mi the Rabbanon, there's another difference between the two, and that is how do you fix the problem? To which we're going to say the following. Xeris Tikra, I'm sorry, to take care of Tasev Lomin Asui, the correction is what the Mishnah referred to as Mefapek, lifting up each board and placing it back on top of the Sukkah. This solves the issue, because the issue is with placing the Schach on the Sukkah. So what do you do? You pick it up, you put it down, and now the Schach has been placed there. That takes care of the exact issue. The issue of Gzeiris Tikra is that the boards of the sukkah themselves are an issue, as they can lead to confusion and problems. The solution is, as the Mishnah says, notel echem bin sayim, taking one problematic beam away and replacing it. By doing this, taking the one problematic beam away and replacing it, there will no longer be that potential confusion. Now, why don't we have to remove all the beams? So the Bach in Simon Tafresh Lamed Zayin explains that the issue of the psul that we're dealing over here is not necessarily, is not puzzled because there is an issue with the schach per se, but rather the issue is more in terms of the circumstance. That's to say, unlike, let's say, a piece of metal where there's a psul in the heft of the schach, here it's a circumstance. Either we're afraid that a person might make a gzera, or I'm sorry, a person might make a wrong conclusion, or because of tasa v'lomin asui. So what do? By being, placing the sukkah on top, by placing the schach on top, what are you doing? You're doing a neglective tasa. And therefore, since the original condition was, that we can't say, since the original condition was, we're afraid that, I'm sorry, since the original condition was, sukkah can't appear by itself. So once you've taken care of that, that's not a problem. Furthermore, as far as the issue of placing the schach, or being concerned that a person might come into his house, by going ahead and placing the schach on top, or removing the schach, replacing it with other pieces, so again, by doing this, you're showing that, you're demonstrating that you know this is not the same thing as your house. So again, since the issue is circumstance, and not the intrinsic nature of what you're putting on top of the sukkah, any act that will change the circumstance, either a pikuk or an etilas schachachas, that will go ahead, change the circumstance for us, and allow things to work. The question that Begur Maru brings up is, how do we understand the opinion of Basila, who says you could do either one of the actions, nifak pek or notel echami b'ayim? At the end of the day, if the issue is tasav lo minah, so you should be doing nifak pek. If the issue is gzeres tikra, we should be doing no telechemi b'nayim. So the Gemara goes through a lengthy discussion and comes to the following conclusion of the bottom of Tesvav and Mibhav. The Gemara explains that according to Shmuel, who says that all four tefachim boards are no good because of gzeres tikra, the machlokas is as follows. So we're actually dealing with two problems. First, there's gzeres tikra, because the four tefachim wide boards, as well as the tasev alomi na'asui, from the fact that you're sitting on a tikra, she'ein alei ma'aziva, that tells you we got two issues over here. The machlokas between the two is based on the following. And what do we say? Maybe tuli tikra kamiflagi. The machlokas is about how we're mevatel a tikra, mar sover batla b'hachi, mar sover b'hachi lo batla. So let's read Rashi inside to explain, to summarize. Rashi says, kolomar, amalach ha-shmuel, Shmuel is going to say the following. L'yolam b'yishyesh mehen arba. Lo haisa tikra kan, lo haisa kan tikra mitchila. V'yachshiv v'bal l'sachik b'hu l'shem sukkah. When you have four tefachim beans and you want to use them for sach, afilu Rabbi Yehuda pasul de gazrina mishum tikra. Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's possible because the gzeir is tikra. Shol yavo v'yeshiv tachas b'koros beso. That a person shouldn't come and sit under the beams of his house. V'yomar and saying, mali zeh, mali chadasha. What's the difference if I sit under these? What if it is if I sit under sach or if I sit under my actual house? Aval hashta, the zotikra haisa, that this was a tikra. Ubali de maisa la sosal shem sukkah. And you did something to make it into a sukkah by just lifting up and putting down the boards. Bezem mochiach, and this proves, she yodea shamra Torah tasev lo min asui, that there's a concept of tasev lo min asui. So pligi Rabbi Yehuda v'remeir, there the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda v'remeir comes up. What does it mean? Ii kasula migzer mishum tikra ilo. Whether you have to further be gozer because of tikra or not. So Rabbi Yehuda zavar, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bituli tikra le beishamay tzarach litul mi bintayim. Dafogav demuchach shebaki betasev lo min asui gazriba. What beishamay is going to say is that it doesn't make a difference if you take care of one. Taking care of one problem, tasev lo min asui, doesn't necessarily indicate that you know there's another problem. And without replacing the board, beishamay is concerned that you still might come and sit under it on Sukkot, and we have the problem of Zeres Tikra. However, Beis Hillel Savri came into Batla, once you're Mevatel it, Vilchiyav Shet Tikra Psula, Sulo Maker the Mizr, you don't have to have making Zer anymore. By doing one indication and one action that shows that you know there is a problem, that lets you know that you're going to be concerned with all other problems. So that's really the machlokas, whether using the bittul for one or the solution for one, when you have a situation with two problems, midrabanan, or sorry, two problems where we're worried about a circumstance, by correcting one, do we need to go ahead and be concerned about the other one? Beis Shammai is saying no, and Beis Hillel is saying yes. So it comes out, according to Beis Hillel, Rabbi Yehuda's version, simply being mefapek will work in this case. What's interesting is that there really is nothing different between the boards that were lifted and the boards that weren't. Rather, once the boards were lifted, we're no longer concerned that somebody will confuse the board that was lifted with the board that was not lifted. The reason there is no concern is because by performing an action, he's demonstrating that he's aware of the issue, and being aware of the issue is enough to go ahead and take us away from the prohibition. Now, this actually leads us to an interesting discussion about something totally, totally seemingly being a different topic, but in fact, it actually is connected. And one of the things that I want to show you is that, well, we're not going to come up with a halacha conclusion because this is not the place and I'm not the one to do it. Just to show you how broad stretching and how what we have in our Gemara is really a Yama Talmud, which could extend to all areas. This leads to an interesting discussion regarding a well-known minhag that we have, that Ashkenazim of Pesach are not eating kidneys. The Torah in Siman Toftun Gimel writes, that there are those that forbid the eating of rice and all types of legumes on Pesach. The Beis Yosef gives two reasons for this minhag. Reason number one, is the gamish mekomo she'osem pas mikitnis v'asi lachlufi b'daisa shu maisa kadeva. One issue is that if we're afraid that a person might come to confuse if you can eat kidneys, which could be made into bread and similar looking type of things that we have, then a person could also end up thinking that you can eat real chametz. The other reason the Beis Yosef gives is gam pamim, also sometimes tevuos mo revos mu ravos bahem, you have grain, pieces of grain mixed up amongst them. And you can't really separate them and take them out. And this is why the Sephardim who eat rice have to really go through the process of checking the rice multiple times in order to go ahead and eat them for Pesach. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, Spector, and Achuas Per Yitzchak wants to use the our Gemara regarding Sukkah as a springboard to allow kidneyous derivatives, believe it or not, such as peanut oil on Pesach. How is our question about sukkah having to do with peanut oil on Pesach, something which is even mentioned in the Gemara? So here's where the idea of learning a sugya, understanding something, and applying it really shows, and really you can see how that extends itself. And it gives us an appreciation about how valuable learning is, how valuable lumdus is, and how valuable understanding really what we learn is. And of course, the way that you can understand it is by reviewing it. By reviewing it, you get to the understanding. By then getting an understanding and the lumdus, you get to apply it to other areas. And that's exactly how we could take something which is sukkah boards and apply it to peanut oil on Pesach. Rav Yitzchak Elchanan gives two reasons for the possible heter. Regarding the chashash that there might be chametz mixed up into the mixture. So once we say that it's all mixed together and turned into oil, the chametz is going to be batal. What do I mean? You look around and say you have one piece of grain and all these pieces of rice or all these peanuts that you have over there. So if you have 1,000 peanuts and one piece of grain, by mixing them all together, it's going to be batal beruv. Now you're going to tell me, wait a second. We know that chametz is also b'mashu, and the concept of bittul beruv doesn't apply by chametz. So the teretz is for that question is that that's only when chametz falls into something during Pesach, when things are usur. However, if the mixing takes place before Pesach, the chametz is still considered to be a davar heter. And we would say that since it's a davar heter, heterik batal. Meaning we only have a problem of saying that there's bittul by chametz is at the time that chametz is usur. But if you can vatel chametz in a mixture before Pesach, that makes a huge difference. Because at that time, chametz is no longer usur. Now regarding the chashash of asi lachlufe, Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan cites our Gemara as a proof that things are okay. In our Gemara, once one is a mafag pickup board, he demonstrates that there is no chashash for confusing the tikra, as he's showing that he's aware of the halacha. The parallel by Pesach would be that once you remove the potential grain from the peanuts, or you use the oil, and there clearly is not going to be any grain oil coming from the grain, you're demonstrating that you're aware of the halacha and will not come to mix things up. It's for this reason that Rav Yitzchak Elchanan allowed peanut oil on Pesach. The Rosh Hashanah gave a heter also, including Rav Moshe and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, that the OU used to allow it, but has taken a stronger stance in recent years. A lot depends on Minhagim, and it's a whole fascinating topic, which not going to be touched right now, but the idea of being able to learn seemingly an obscure sugya in sukkah, because again, we're not using the beams of our house for sukkahs in our particular culture, in our particular society. Very rarely are we going to come up with that particular case. And yet being able to apply it to something which does come up, and it's not even mentioned in the Gemara, a new case, because Kitnius is brought down from the times of the Rishonim, but not from the Gemara, is just to show how deep the Talmud is, and reminding us, learn, chazer, understand, and then you'll be able to apply. Have a wonderful week.